This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Today is Easter. It's the Resurrection Day, and it's a day to celebrate. It's a day to recognize that we have a risen Savior. As I think about that, and as you probably have heard these ideas before, I just want to think about that first Easter. This morning, a lot of us got up early. Some of you went to sunrise services. I was up. It was a beautiful morning. And it was that time just to focus on, yeah, Jesus is risen. But that first Easter, there was no sunrise service. There was no group of people sitting outside the tomb waiting for it to open. There was no one saying, okay, Jesus is going to come. They weren't looking for the resurrection. They weren't anticipating it. They weren't expecting it. Jesus had told everyone he was going to rise, but they didn't look for it. The two women that went, or several women that went to the tomb, they weren't expecting to see Jesus. They carried spices to embalm the body. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had gone there and taken the body of Jesus, and they had placed it in a tomb, but they couldn't finish embalming the body, and so they closed everything up. The stone was rolled, and that's the way it was left. And so on that first Easter Sunday morning, when the women went, they did not look for Jesus. They looked for a body, and they didn't see one. The rest of the disciples were at home. They were doing their own thing. See, for them, they had kind of given up already. They had looked to Jesus as someone different, and then to them, when he died, there was a limit to what Jesus could do. There was no way he could get beyond that. They'd seen him do miracles, and they were good with that. They'd seen him bring other people back to life, but something about his death just put a box around Jesus, and they said, that's as far as he can go. He can't overcome that. And it probably started somewhere around the Garden of Gethsemane when they were praying together. Actually, they were sleeping and Jesus was praying. And the guards came to arrest Jesus. And when they got there and they saw that Jesus didn't respond, he didn't stand up, he just kind of backed down, he was quiet, they kind of just started losing faith. And they started to doubt. And when they started to doubt, they began to lose hope. And as they watched Jesus, or in many cases, they just heard about it because they weren't there because they were too afraid. When they heard about what he went through, and they thought about him dying, and he died so quickly compared to other people, they must have said, okay, it's done. That's it. Jesus was a good person. He could do some amazing things, but he had limits. He could take it all the way to the cross, but he couldn't take it anymore, any further than that. And for them, it's probably just shut this thing down. What are we going to do? Our center is gone. Our leader is gone. We're kind of hopeless right now. We have no direction. And if you think about it, sometimes we're the same way, aren't we? We look at Jesus and go, yeah, he can do anything except what I need him to do. Like, he's good for somebody else's life, but there's a box that we put around Jesus sometime and go, well, yeah, but he can't help me out of my financial problems. That's just too far for Jesus. He maybe helped that person over there, but he can't do that. Or we might say, he can't fix this relationship I'm in. It's too much for him. Or we may look at him and say, the sin in my life, that's too much. He can forgive somebody else, but what I've done, he can't forgive. I've had too many chances and I've blown them. There's a habit I can't break. There's something I keep doing over and over again. And so we put these boxes around Jesus and we go, that's it. He can't do it. Just like the followers of Jesus on that first Easter, they drew a box around him and says, he can't go past this. Now, if you've ever doubted Jesus, if you ever doubted kind of what God can do, you're in good company because his followers are in the same place. When he, in their opinion, did not rise, when they were looking for him to rise and he didn't do it, they begin to doubt his word. If he told us he was going to rise again and he didn't do it, then everything he said was a lie. All those things he told us, all those things he brought us to, that was impossible, he can't do that. So they began to doubt his whole word. Have you ever done that before? You ever begin to doubt that God could work in your life and his word is only true for so much, and then you begin to doubt a little bit and it makes you doubt all of it, and then you're kind of stuck. Well, you're in good company. That's where they were that day. And then I think what they did too is they doubted and they lost hope because they looked at the people around them and go, well, if those guys ran away, if Judas betrayed, and they don't believe any more than I do, then is it real? Have you ever done that before? You ever looked at people that say they're Christians and go, well, they don't really live it. They don't really get convicted by it. They don't really change. And you look at that, or you look at certain churches, or you look around and go, well, if they don't really believe, then why should I? And then you look at them and you begin to doubt yourself and your beliefs, and it all kind of crumbles. You go, I don't know if God's even there. Or maybe you'll be like the disciples who looked at the Jewish leaders, the other people who had opposed Jesus, and the Roman authorities and go, okay, well, they are doing pretty good. They're in charge and Jesus is dead and they're still alive. And maybe what they believe is better than what I believe. And sometimes we look at other religions and go, well, they're getting along pretty good. Maybe what they believe is better. And we begin to doubt and we begin to lose our own hope. Or maybe you're like the disciples who looked at Jesus suffer. And Jesus was the most innocent person they had ever met. He had never sinned. And yet there he was, and they beat him, and they pulled his beard out, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they hung him on a cross, and they watched the suffering, and they go, where's God? Where's God? Where's justice? Why isn't God doing anything? Is God limited? He can't fix this? And maybe you've done the same thing. You've looked at people suffer, people that you love, or you've seen things on the news and go, where's God in the midst of this? How do we know he's real if he can't fix this? And you'd be in a good company. It's exactly where the disciples were. Or maybe you look at what they saw, that death was a finality. See, the Jews really didn't believe in life after death, not very much. There's not much in the Old Testament about a life after death. They kind of had this understanding, but they weren't sure of it. It wasn't really a thing they taught all the time. So when Jesus talked about coming back to life, they got their hopes up. And then suddenly he was dead and they go, okay, that door's closed. And that when you die, the lights just go off and you're done and no one remembers you and it's just kind of finished. And that's kind of where they were. Maybe you've been there too, where someone you love died and you go, I wonder if there's any more than this. Because it's easy to believe when things are going well, but when things are going tough, you're like, I'm not sure. And that's exactly where the followers of Jesus were on that Easter morning. They weren't sure. They weren't sure what was happening. How is this possible? And maybe you find yourself in the same place sometime. They were really close to Jesus, but then it all kind of fell apart. And what do you do when you lose your hope and you lose your faith? When I look at the followers of Jesus, the 11, because Judas had already left, I look at Simon Peter and I go, there's a guy maybe I understand a little bit better. Because here's Simon's story. His name was Simon, right? But Jesus called him Peter, which means rock. But at this moment, he's not a rock. He's sitting at home probably, and he's going, what happened to all this? See, Simon was one of the people who really believed Jesus. And he probably thought back to the day where his brother Andrew said, come with me, let me introduce you to the Messiah. And maybe that was you. One day someone came and said, let me introduce you to Jesus. And you're all excited about it. And there's Jesus. And I'm really glad to know him. And that's exactly where these guys were. It's exactly where Simon was. And Simon got to follow Jesus. And he got to spend time with him and get to know him and see the miracles. But then Jesus said, I want you to be one of my inner three. And what does that mean? It means that Simon got to go see things that no one else had seen. Simon got to go up on the mountain and Jesus was transfigured in front of him. He saw the glory of God and go, that is the Jesus I know. He's more than what I know. And maybe that happened to you when you came to contact with Jesus. It opened up your world and you're going, that is everything I've ever been looked for. And that was years ago and it kind of burned off. And you're going, I'm not sure if that was real now. And I'm not sure if I really follow, but that day it was something incredible. And I said, never forget it. And that's exactly what Simon did, I'm sure. He said, don't forget this day when you see Jesus. There was another time where the three best friends of Jesus, Simon, James, and John, went into a room and Jesus healed this little girl who had died, brought her back to life. And I'm sure Simon said, don't ever forget this. You ever had that where you prayed something, God answered, he said, don't ever forget this. Remember God was here. Maybe you read something that you had read over and over and suddenly God just opened your mind and go, that is God speaking to me. And I don't ever want to forget this. But then a year passes, 2 years, and you go, I wish he'd do it again. Simon, one day, when Jesus asked him, he said, who do you think I am? Simon's the only one that came up with the fact that you're the Christ. He said it. He knew it. And when Jesus walked on water, remember what did Simon do? I want to walk too. He's the only one that got out on the boat. And for a moment, he was walking by faith. And we can experience that in our own life. We're going, today, I just feel on top of the world. God's working. I see all this stuff. I know I'm forgiven. And everything's great. And then time passes. And things get tough. And we have all kinds of questions. And at that moment, we began to step away. Right? Just a little bit. When Jesus was arrested in the garden, Simon followed him. And he went down and he sat beside the fire while Jesus was being tried. And a girl came up to him and says, you were one of those followers of Jesus. You're one of them. You dress a little bit different. You talk a little bit different. You're from Galilee, just like Jesus. You're one of his followers. And Jesus says, nope, I don't know him. I don't know him. Then another person came up and said, yeah, we saw you with Jesus. And he goes, no, that was somebody else. That wasn't me. And then the third person, when he said it to Simon cursed at him. He cussed him out. This is Simon, who knew Jesus, is as close as a brother. And maybe you've never denied knowing Jesus, but have you ever denied him in your life? Jesus, I'll go this far, but I won't go that far. Jesus, you can have this part of my life, but you can't have this other part. You can have my thoughts, you can have my dreams, but you can't have my finances. Jesus, you can't have my relationships. Or Jesus, you can have some of my faith, but not all of my faith. Maybe you've been there just like Simon. He's sitting there going, I don't even know Jesus. And we're going, I'm not really interested in him right now. He was a thing for a while. And we're exactly like Simon sometimes. And Simon's sitting there, and he realizes what he did, and then he just left. He just left. And he went off to be by himself. And on that Easter morning that we celebrate, think about it, they were all scattered. And they weren't waiting for Jesus to be resurrected. They'd heard it, but they didn't really believe it. So they weren't sitting outside the tomb. And what happened was these ladies went back and they saw it. And when they came back, they said, we saw an empty tomb and we saw angels. And it was pretty cool. And one of them said, I think I saw Jesus. He didn't look like Jesus. He looked like a gardener. I thought it was that. But when he spoke my name, Mary, and I knew it was him. And they came back and told the guys. And Simon's probably sitting there going, why wasn't I there? I was really close to him. I was one of his best friends. He didn't come to me. Have you ever experienced that? Like, he's working in that person's life, but he's not working in mine right now. And I want him to. And I want to know that I know that I know. And Simon's going, what happened? What happened? The day passes and the disciples get together and they're trying to figure out what was true. And Simon's kind of relating, yeah, I went to the tomb too after the ladies told me about it. I went down there and there was an empty tomb. John looked in and believed, but Simon looked in and said he marveled. He didn't understand. And I bet he went back and told the guys, look, they saw Jesus, but all I saw was an empty tomb. And I don't know if that means they just stole the body. I don't know if he really rose. I'm just not sure. And then these guys come in, these fringe guys, right? They had the core group, and there's some guys on the fringe, the guys who probably went to church like every few years or whatever, you know, they just knew Jesus on the side. And they came back and said, yeah, we left the city today, and we were walking to this place called Emmaus, and this guy joined us, and he's talking about Jesus and all this stuff, and we didn't really get it. Then he sat down, and he ate with us, and when he ate with us, we knew it was Jesus. And we saw the risen Lord. And I bet Simon's going, where was I? I was where I was supposed to be and I missed it. I don't want to miss this. I want to know Jesus too. I want to see him with my own eyes. I don't want to hear stories anymore. I've had it with stories. That person did and that person did and that person did. But now I want in. And that's where he was. And a lot of us can relate to that. Because otherwise, if we don't see the risen Lord, if we don't experience him, Christianity is just a bunch of rules, right? You ever walked in that? A bunch of do this and don't do that. It's about wearing the right stuff or not wearing the right stuff. It's about looking good. We think all those things, and that's not what it's about at all. It's about seeing Jesus and knowing Jesus, and that's exactly what Simon knew. And if the story ended there, it'd be really tough. But that evening, something happened. John tells us what happened. John was a close follower of Jesus. He was an eyewitness. And this is what he said in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. He says, let's write this thing down so we know it. He said this, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They were afraid. So they locked the door. But the locked door couldn't stop Jesus. It says, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now here at Bridges, we've been talking about shalom, peace for the city. And shalom is not peace, like, you know, put the peace sign up, that kind of stuff. Peace means you're right with God. You have a right relationship with God, and everything that God wants for you is there. And Jesus just stood there and he says, peace. And all their questions were gone. Because you can't have questions when someone who was dead stands in front of you and just speaks, because you're going, he's alive. We celebrate Easter in the morning because that's when the women saw him. But for the disciples, Easter came that evening. The resurrection was true that evening when they saw Jesus face to face and go, here he is, right in front of us. And then it says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And I think it's one of those understatements of all time. They were glad. And what does that mean? Yeah, that's great, Jesus. Really cool. Thanks. We're going to eat now. And now they were like amazed, because suddenly now it all made sense. When they saw Jesus, there was no more questions about whether his word was true or not. He said he was going to come back, and he did. And if he kept his word on that, then he's kept his word on everything. All his promises are true. All his promises are real. I don't have to doubt anymore. Jesus is alive. And he just said to me, peace, be still. And for those guys, it opened up a new world. And that's what happens with the resurrection. If you doubt anything about Jesus, you just look and go, he is risen. I can believe. I can know. They didn't worry anymore about Judas. They didn't worry about the other guys falling away, because it didn't matter what everybody else thought. Suddenly, Jesus was there in front of them. I go, I get it now. When I take my eyes off of Jesus and put it on other people, I kind of fall into this place of doubt. But this moment, I don't want to look at anybody else. And at that moment, they weren't going, okay, where is the Roman authorities? Where is Pontius Pilate? Where's Caesar? It didn't matter, because all those guys will die and they're not coming back. But Jesus is standing in front of me, and it doesn't matter about what authority they have or what power. It doesn't matter at all. Here's the risen Savior right here in front of me. It doesn't matter what other people believe. No one else in the world believes that their leader, their Savior, died and rose again. Christianity is the only one that says that. Christianity is the only one that shows that. Christianity is the only one where the leaders of and followers of Jesus were simply the ones that saw Jesus, and it changed their life completely. It said, he is alive. And it changed them completely from that day. And there was no more question about suffering. If suffering is the reason you stay away from Jesus, then look at him. He stood before him and said, see the prints on my hands? See the place in my side? He suffered, but then it was done. You may suffer in this world. You may know people who suffer, but what Jesus is saying, it will end. It may last a lifetime, and that's a long time to suffer, but then it'll be over, and for eternity, you don't have to worry about it. Suffering will end. It's not a sign that God isn't there or that God doesn't care. It's a sign that one day it will be finished. And Jesus shows us that. And at that moment, there was no more question about life and death. And if there's a heaven or a hell, there's Jesus. I don't have to question anymore. He is alive. And it changed them completely. That day, and from the days from then, every follower of Jesus was different. And they were willing to die for it, because they said, I saw Jesus. I was a witness. You can't take that away from me. And their lives were fully different because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it affects us the same way. It's more than just a belief system. It's more than a worldview. It's more than a way of life and simply being moral and being good people. It's about having a Savior who is alive, and it changed the world. When you look at Simon and get back to his life, and you just go, okay, how did it affect him? Simon had to go a step further. The story of the resurrection is not just one day. Over 40 days, Jesus continued to show them who he was. And in one day, in John chapter 21, we see what happened on a day where Jesus reached out to Simon. It's a real simple story. It's in John 21, verses 2 and 3 is where it starts. And it says this: Simon Peter and Thomas, who's called the twin, we know him as Doubting Thomas, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others, disciples, were together, about seven of them. And I love this. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. You ever had one of those days? It's like, okay, it's been tough. I've been through a lot lately. I'm just going to go fishing. I feel better when I go fish. Let's go, guys. Maybe that's where you want to go today. It's a beautiful day. It'd be a great day to go fishing. That's exactly what they did. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said, well, we'll go with you. Let's go do this together. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. That night they fished again and nothing was happening. And I wonder if in Simon's life he's going, yeah, empty tomb, now empty net, what good is this? And then something happened. As they're fishing and it gets next to the morning time, they hear a voice from the shore and it cries out and they hear this, children, have you caught anything? And they call out, no. And then in the darkness, they hear the voice cry out to them again, well, throw the net on the other side. Throw the net on the other side. And as they start to do that, and they start picking up fish, and it starts to fill the net so heavy they can't even pull it up, and they're bringing in, John leans over to Simon. He says, I think it's the Lord. I think it's Jesus. And what Simon is thinking this time is he's remembering back to that day, another day, when he was out fishing and he heard the same voice saying, have you caught anything? And no, we haven't. And the voice said, well, throw the net on the other side. And they did it and the nets were full and Jesus was there. And Simon remembered that day and he goes, that was the day that I knelt in that boat and I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Get away from me. I'm not worthy of being here. And it was that day that Simon gave his life fully to Jesus. And he left everything behind and began to follow Jesus. And now, this happening again. And now he's hearing the same voice and the same thing is happening. And it must have blown his mind. And maybe you've been there too, where one day you heard Jesus so clearly, I'm giving my life to him. And you kind of left that. Maybe you've walked away from it. And Jesus reaches out again. He says, it's time. It's time. You've been on the sidelines for a while. It's time to get back in the game. Throw your net on the other side. And when they began to pull up the fish, it's an interesting thing. In verse 7, it says this. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. He goes, I'm not waiting anymore. He just jumped out of the boat. Here's an opportunity. Jesus is inviting me here. He's here at this moment. I've lived for myself. I denied Jesus those times. I kind of walked away. I doubted. I believed and I doubted. I denied. And now he's here and I'm not wasting a moment. And he threw himself into the sea. And what Jesus says to us simply is this. If you've left, just throw yourself back. Just jump back in. I want you beside me. Peter swam to the shore. And when he got there, you know what Jesus was doing? He was eating breakfast. Bread and fish. The McSandwich, the McFish was born that day, right? Bread and fish. And he was just cooking there on the shore. And he said, here, let's eat together. The other disciples pulled the nets in. It actually told us they caught over 150 fish that day. It's a pretty amazing day for them. And they pulled the nets in and they just sat down. And I think they just looked at Jesus. And I think they couldn't even contain it. You're here. It's real. You are who you say you are. And then Jesus, after they'd eaten, he kind of leans into Simon and he says, basically, we have to have a conversation now. You denied me three times. I'm going to ask you three questions. And he leaned into Simon and he says, look, do you love me unconditionally? In the English, it says simply, do you love me? But the Greek word is agape. Do you agape love me? Do you fully love me? And Peter's not a liar. He looks at him and goes, no, I do love you, but I love you like a best friend. He used a different word. And Jesus said, okay, your job's to take care of sheep. Just take care of the sheep. A little bit later, Jesus turns to him again. Do you love me unconditionally? Do you agape love me fully and completely? And Simon's not a liar, so he says, no, I love you like a best friend. That's all I got. Jesus said, okay, take care of my sheep. Get back in the game. That's your role. That's your job. You've left it for a while, but I want you there. And Jesus, because he knows our heart, leaned into Simon one more time. He says, look, do you love me like a friend? Phileo, it's a different word. It's the one that Simon's been using all the time. And Simon goes, yeah, I love you like a friend. And I think what Jesus is going, that's great. Let's start there. You can't fully commit. I got it. You can't say you fully love me because you just failed me and you're not going to lie and I appreciate it about you, but can you love me like that? If you can, we can do something with this. You can get back in the game. You can fully follow me. Just do this. And he goes, you were good. We're good. And then Jesus turned to him and says, look, you kind of left me, but this is what the deal is. When you were little, somebody dressed you and took you where you were to go. But when you're older, one day, they're going to dress you and they're going to put you in a place where you don't want to go. You're going to die for me. And I want you to know that, because right now you're not sure if you're sold out to me, but one day, when the time is right, when the chips are down, when everything's there, you're not going to back off. You're going to go all the way. That's you, Simon. You are Peter. You are a rock. I can see that in you. All you have to do is come back. And he says two words to him. The two most important words Jesus says to you, they're really simple. John 21:19, he simply said, follow me. Follow me. That's what it's all about, right? The risen Savior looks at you and says, I don't know what you may not know what you've been doing. I know. You may not have been sold out for me. I know that. You may have walked away. You may have done your own thing. You may have denied me in your heart. But I understand. And you can't come back fully. You can't completely say, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I got that. But can you come in on your deal? Yes. Just take a step, a small step. Love me like a friend and follow me and you're good. And you know what Simon did for the rest of his life? He did exactly that. Simon began to walk with Jesus during that time and beyond. He kept following Jesus. He walked in some hard places. He faced some difficult things. Eventually, his life was on the line and he never backed down again. But it was that day. It was that day he recommitted himself and he said, I'm going to follow this Jesus. Later in his life, when Peter was writing a letter to followers of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:3, it says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter says, look, I know what it's like to not have hope. I know what it's like to doubt. I know what it's like to fall away. But can I tell you something, guys? He says, you have a living hope. And what a living hope is about is simply this. Every day you wake up and go, yeah, I got issues. Yeah, I got problems. And some of these things are bigger than what I can deal with. But Jesus is risen from the dead and there is no problem too big for him. My finances are small compared to Jesus. My relationship issues are small compared to the resurrection. The things that I doubt are small compared to Jesus. He has risen, and because of that, I have a living hope. Today in my devotions, I was reading, and it's amazing how God can do these things where it's like, today I heard this, it's this. The resurrection tells you that no matter how difficult and impossible your trial, you have hope as long as you have Jesus. All he says is, two words, follow me. You don't have to become something you're not. You don't have to promise something you can't fulfill. He simply says, today, will you follow me? Today, will you take a step with me? If you don't have hope, if you doubt, you're in good company. We all do it sometimes. If you've gone your own route for a while, it's okay. God understands that. We've all done that sometime. He says, simply, come back. Return. Follow me. I have risen from the grave. I am no longer dead. You are forgiven and free. Your place is beside me. Come walk with me. Let's do life together. Today we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. A lot of times we move right into communion. Today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to sing as a sign of kind of commitment to God and simply say, Jesus, I want that living hope that we just read about. And maybe you've been in a part where you don't have that hope, and this is a time to say, I just need that. I want to know this resurrected Jesus. I want to have him back. For some of us, we've walked away. It's just, I had that. Now I want him again. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray before we sing. So go ahead and stand now. And I want you just to, as we stand, just be thinking about where have you been with Christ and what do you know about him? And where do you want to be with him? I'm going to ask us now just to prepare for prayer. Let's go ahead and close our eyes and bow our heads. And this is what I want to do a little different today. Some of us are here today, and you want to come back to Jesus. And for those of you that want that hope again, you want that relationship again, you want to be back in the game, I'm going to ask you to do something with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to come back, just raise your hands You're not going to commit to me. You're just raising your hand in recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, I want to come back. I want to follow you. I want to be close to you. I want you to speak to my heart. If that's you, just raise your hand. It's a sign of faith to God. And let's pray together. Father God, at this moment, we come before you as your children with our hands raised before you saying, Jesus, we want to come back. We want to walk with you. You died and you rose again, and I believe that. Because of that, I can have new life. And just like Simon, who may have walked away from you, I can be back with you. And I want to do that now. So Father God, just take us as we are. We can't be anything more than that. We can't pretend. We're not going to bother to pretend before you. We're just going to come before you and ask for your mercy and grace to meet us where we are. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And as we prepare to sing and prepare to just to worship God, I want you to think about the words of this song and where we find our hope. Let's join together in worship.